Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. We need to really all unite because there is a darkness that has come upon this land, and it is after our children. And it is called Common Core. And how amazing that, you know, the way it's worded, it seems like it's something that, you know, would help everyone, common. But unfortunately, we are finding out it is the very opposite. It is putting a wedge in families, in neighborhoods, in states, and it's time that the truth come out. And we're so glad to be on tonight because we had a great time just on the 18th with something, I think, supernatural that came on. And we're going to talk a little bit about it because we know a lot of people all over the country is really wanting what we had, I believe. But as always, we'd like to start this off with the right foundation. So I'm going to turn this over to our historian teacher, Ms. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Well, hi, Diana. It's so good to be back on the air, isn't it?
Oh, it is. We've worked so hard, Ms. Barbara, and I apologize. You know, we hadn't been able to really get on the air because it took a lot. But, you know, I really felt like God's hand was upon us, Ms. Barbara, because it could have been a lot worse. Instead, it was just breathtakingly satisfying, I think, as far as seeing everybody come together.
Well, I like the way you put that. It was indeed very, very satisfying, and it was breathtaking in its scope, in its depth, in its breadth. The speakers that spoke at our conference, headlining, of course, was David Barton, our keynote speaker, speaking on Common Core and the future of our republic, the dangers of Common Core to the future of our republic, the dangers of Common Core to our children, our families, our country. And, you know, as I was looking at the month of January, January is filled with, like, it's a veritable who's who in American history with births and deaths. And you know, we do always like to bring a bit of light regardless of what we're going through as a nation, and we're right now in the throes of this darkness of the Common Core system invading and taking over our education. Well, I'd like to bring just a bit of light, because I'd like to mention one of our great founding fathers. He was born in January in 1745, but you'll be familiar with this one, as many of our listeners will, Dr. Benjamin Rush, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, but he's known as the Patriot Doctor. He was the Surgeon General of the Continental Army, and he was an educator. He founded five different universities. He personally trained and educated over 2,000 American physicians. And Diana, you know, one of the things that I love about his training of doctors is that he trained them to treat the poor with the same quality care as they treated the rich. And he told them, God will repay you. God will repay you. And that he was stating what is biblical. It's in the book of Proverbs. And so he trained physicians rightly. And we know from that point up until present day, we have had the very best medical system in the history of the world, and access to it. You know, there are so many physicians throughout this country, even today, that donate their time and their skills to taking care of the poor. So many hospitals that care for the poor, and on and on and on. Well, it began back in the 1700s with Dr. Benjamin Rush training them in that mentality. And but anyway, he started the Bible Society. He loved the Bible. He started the Sunday School Union. He started a society for the abolition of slavery, because he lived out the biblical values that he held. He applied them. And so he applied those biblical values to the world he lived in, to society. He not only heard the word of God, he lived it, he applied it, and so he was a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And we can learn a lot from the life of Dr. Benjamin Rush. Diana, I know you remember that he was the one that brought Thomas Jefferson and John Adams together in their latter years. He's the one that initiated the correspondence between the two of them back and forth that was so satisfying to both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson in their last years of life. And anyway, I could go on and on about Dr. Benjamin Rush. But I just want to remind Americans about him. He would be appalled at this Common Core so-called education that we're experiencing now, and he would be the very first in the line of fire. He would be on the front line of the battle that we're fighting against Common Core. So I wanted to bring him to our attention before we pray. And let's pray together now. Our dear Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, O God, that you have left us such a legacy, that you have left us such great role models as patriots like Dr. Benjamin Rush. Thank you, Father, that we can learn from them about their walk with you and how they lived it out, Lord, for your glory and the good of mankind, as William Penn always prayed and stated, that we're to live for your glory and for the good of mankind. and that is our purpose here on this earth, and to further your kingdom, O God. So we thank you, Father, that you chose this time for us on the earth. You chose the challenges, Father, that we're to be involved in bringing you and your truth to bear in every part of our world, Lord, including education, law, government, the arts, everywhere, Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord of all, not just some, not just a part, not just our personal Lord and Savior, although he is our personal Lord and Savior, but he's also Lord of all. And we proclaim that, Father, and we bring your truth into every arena, and we proclaim that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life, and that no man comes to you, O God, except through him. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your only begotten Son to sacrifice and pay the debt that I owed, the sin debt. Took my sin upon him on the cross, that I would bear it no more, but that Jesus could live in me right now and throughout all eternity because of what he did on the cross, and because you invite us, Lord, to come to you through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And the life that we now live, we can live in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you, Father, for the conference here that we were privileged to be a part of. We thank you for everyone, Lord, who took part in it. And we pray, Father, that much fruit will be born from it. And, Father, that you will be glorified in the lives of your people. And, Father, that you will be actively, Father, working in and through us to bring about your plan of salvation, your plan of deliverance, your plan, O God, of education. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Miss Barbara. And as always, you bring me to tears. I tell you. Folks, you know, one of the reasons we have this radio show is because we want you to know more about your history. What an inspiring legacy. And Miss Barbara, you know, always says, you know, it's really about his story, God's hand. And the more you know about your history, the more you love God. And I tell you, she just makes us fall in love more and more with God because he is truly good, Miss Barbara, and he has given us examples after examples in our own country. And cannot thank him enough for what has been done before. And I think that's why we fight, because we know that God wants the very best for us. And really, he instituted such a nation where, you know, children can be raised, where they can excel. And this common core takes away that exceptionalism, that excellence. And Ms. Barbara, let me, you know, I titled tonight really about the perspectives on the David Barton Conference, but I would like for you to start us off and let you give us what your perspective is on that conference and what took place.
Oh, thank you, Diana. Well, I'm still digesting it. There's so much that was done in that conference, but beginning with David Barton, you know, he took us back to education in our past and what it was founded upon. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so he gave example after example of those that were trained in and taught in the fear of the Lord, and how knowledgeable and how wise they became and how they became quite exceptional. And, you know, Diana, what you said, we want our children to have an excellent education to become the exceptional people that God would fashion them to be, would have them to be. His desire is that they become exceptional people. We can look to our past. You know, I think, and let me digress for just a moment, I think that Common Core and the changes in education that have hurt education for our children, I think that our glorious history and the legacy that was left to us had to be covered up and erased and rewritten for the people, the promoters of Common Core and that philosophy of education, the secular progressive philosophy of education, to be able to gain a foothold. It could not have happened. It could not have happened without the covering up of our true history, our glorious past. Now, that's not to say that everything the United States did or was done in the United States was perfect. It was not. You know, we had our struggles in various ways, and it wasn't always good for everyone. But what we did have was the beginning of a wonderful opportunity that we could access, and some sooner than later, some later than sooner, but it was there. The framework was there, and we went on to become the wonder of the world with less than 8% of the world's population creating over 95% of the world's wealth, and that wealth was used for good throughout the world. Not only when disasters struck did Americans empty their pockets and pocketbooks to help everyone going through tragedies, but it was Americans who financed the gospel being spread throughout the world. Over 85% of the money used to spread the gospel for missions. Over 90% of the wealth needed to fund the missionaries themselves was provided by Americans. So, you know, we had the prosperity, but we also used it for God's purpose in many, many cases. So anyway, that had to all be covered up in order for this Common Core system, which is a dumbing down and is very inappropriate in many, many ways, grade level wise, and so forth. But anyway, back to David Barton. He brought the most beautiful picture to everyone who was there, who heard him, about what education is supposed to be and how Common Core is not, it never can bring that about. You know, it is the total opposite of good education. So, you know, of course, David Barton was the highlight of the evening, and he imparts so much, Diana, that you have to listen to what he said, you know, more than once. You know, we have the CDs now that we're able to listen to. There's just so much there. What are your thoughts about what he shared?
Well, Ms. Barbara, yeah, thank God for the CDs, because I'm going to have to listen to it over and over. Like you said, there was so much information. But, you know, I really felt that the Lord's presence was there. And I was talking to Joan Landis last night, and Joan just thoroughly enjoyed it, and she, you know, she felt it too. And there was a camaraderie. There was just a, it was like we were barn building. Everybody was looking out for one another. We were united.
Oh, I like that.
Wasn't it wonderful, Ms. Laura?
I like that.
It just
barn building.
It was. It felt, you know, what we lacked, somebody else met. You know, I remember you calling me and reminding me, oh, did you bring Finn Larson's? You know, things like that happened through the night. What I forgot, some you remembered, or
yeah,
what we didn't
yeah,
have
yeah,
help in.
Yeah, vice versa. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just, you knew it was God-led and that he was there in the details, which reminded me of, I was looking at the story, and for those of you that have your Bibles, I mean, I just love 2 Kings chapter 6, and this is where Elisha prayed for the servant's eyes to be opened. The servant had seen an army surrounding them, and the place was Dothan, and isn't it amazing that the place we have the event was Dothan? But in that, in 2 Kings, you know, God opened the servant's eyes, and it did. He was able to see that many more were with him. There were chariots of fire surrounding the enemy.
Mm.
And I think, Ms. Barbara, that was what God did for us. But also on 2 Kings, just a little bit before that humongous, momentous event that God did show that servant was the event of where they were felling some trees. It's what they, I guess they were, that's cutting trees, and the axe head fell into the water. And the servant told the master, Elisha, about it, and Elisha just threw a stick, and that axe head floated to the top of the water. Now, that was a little something compared to the other miracle, but it's like saying, you know, God cares about you in all the details. And how awesome is that, Ms. Barbara, that he did. We saw that at that event. He took care of that small detail, which was important, because Finn Larson's information that we had is, you know, information about a Christian education association for teachers that are afraid,
yes.
You know, because they, CEAI, Christian Educators Association International, they take care of a little detail in helping that teacher keep their job with a $2 million worth of legal representation. So that was important,
yeah.
But God reminded you, and so I remembered, and so we were able to put that information for anybody who would like to get it. But there were other things, you know, that happened. But I'm just so glad one of the things that happened, because David Barton, he's like the premier statesman, whatever you call it, and he's a former teacher. He's an educator. So when people look down about, you know, oh, David Barton's coming, because they think, oh, this man is just far right, right? Well, hey, he's in the good company of George Washington. So for those that looks down on that, wait a second, are you smarter than George Washington? I think not. Nobody is that I know of alive. So, other than Jesus Christ, of God. But what I'm amazed at, Ms. Barbara, is because of that wealth of information that David Barton brought, we were able to get resources like this, the Founder's Bible. I mean, he equipped us. When you heard him and he was talking about the history and how children could do mental math in elementary school, and it was very, you know, it's complicated math, but yet they were able to do it. They were raised to really think deeper, and that's really what happened to the Founding Fathers. They were raised to think deeper and higher, and it was based on the book that a lot of people now says, that's a crutch. Get it out of the schoolhouse. Get it out of the schoolroom. Don't let a child be reading it even in their break time. It's about the Word of God, the Holy Bible. That's really what made them the deeper, higher thinker learning, Ms. Barbara. I think you would agree with that, and he certainly said that. You know, and she's the one that
absolutely dressed
the best standards, English language art standards in the country, and she was just great when she, you know, talked about the Bible and how it does that. So I think we're trying to reinvent the wheel, Ms. Barbara, and I think it's foolishness because really the wheel is being reinvented by those who have other designs for your child, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Well, you know, absolutely agree with everything that you said, Diana, and the Founding Fathers were very much aware that their human knowledge and wisdom was totally inadequate apart from God. They knew where their strengths came from. They knew where everything that they needed came from. And they acknowledged that throughout their lives. It's in their writings. The record is plain. It's clear. They acknowledge God in all their ways. And the Bible says, "In acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your paths." He directed the paths of the Founding Fathers. And they were able to exceedingly abundantly above what they asked or even imagined, truly. Not just the miracle of winning our independence, a David and Goliath situation to the nth degree, you know, that this little old, you know, these little old 13 states come together and form the United States, the 13 colonies, and become 13 states and one country of 13 states and little old fledgling country and take on the mightiest power on the face of the earth with all the weaponry and manpower and generals and, you know, on and on and on, sea power, land power, you know, and so forth, and win our independence, miracle of independence, then the miracle of the Constitutional Convention, the miracle of our Constitution, and, you know, throughout our history, they acknowledged that the source of everything good that ever was, that is, and ever will be, came from God. It's only in him. And in fact, one of the prayers that George Washington wrote in his prayer journal stated what I just said. And, you know, so it was a very natural, normal part of their lives. I mean, you know, just God is in everything, and they acknowledged him as such. And we go to the words of Ben Franklin at the Constitutional Convention that you love so much when he stated that they needed God's guidance, that they could not do it by themselves, and it would come to nothing, and they would go down in history as a reproach and a byword if they did not turn to God and lean upon God and ask for his wisdom and for that time. So, you know.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I think, you know, today I was looking at one of the resources we got from the David Barton Conference, and I got me the Founders Bible. And at what you're saying, you know what, this is so full of historical insight. And one of the things that's in here, because I'm reading it from the beginning, it says, "We do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to raise up godly generations after us, and with these generations take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as this earth remains, and may this land, along with England, be evangelist to the world." Now, that was the words from Pastor Robert Hunt, chaplain of Jamestown, who knelt upon the cross and offered a prayer of dedication. And the United States is what you're saying, is Robert. It is the most evangelistic nation
in the world, and it stemmed from that man's prayer. So, folks, when you pray, heaven and earth is waiting for that prayer. Isn't that amazing, Ms. Barbara? I mean, we see that. We know that. But another interesting insight, and we'll go back to the David Barton conference, but we learned so much. One of the things that, you know, David Barton was talking about the way they used to teach. Well, I found this curriculum called A-Squared Curriculum, and it's based on the 1800s, and all their links. It's K through 12 in one DVD. Can you believe that? But it's everything, all the links of when they used to teach back in the 1800s. And I was just curious. I'm thinking to myself, when was the Industrial Revolution? Well, it says right here that it says what was the transition to new manufacturing processes in the period from 1760 and sometime between 1820 and 1840. And I can't help but think, Ms. Barbara, that really, you know, going back to their, because, well, let's see, the July 1776, right, independence? You know, you think about that. What did they do? They, like you told us, you know, they were busy raising colleges, pastors, right, were busy raising colleges, and it was based on the Word of God. And you saw that even 100 years later, right? We became, really, the Industrial Revolution revolutionized the whole earth, did it not? And it stemmed from these people who were being trained, I would think, very rightly in that wisdom that really can only be gotten from the Lord.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, it even says in the book of Proverbs that God will give his people knowledge of witty inventions. And the Founding Fathers in 1787, they, in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, they made a provision for the right of every person to own their own intellectual property. So they said that Congress would authorize copyrights and patents to protect the property, the intellectual property, the ideas of witty inventions, the ideas of the from the knowledge of witty inventions that God gives, okay, if that would be protected so that the individual with that idea could produce from it and profit from it and create wealth from it. And as you create wealth, you provide employment for others as you produce and so forth. And then what you produce is many times used to help produce other widgets, whatever. And so on. And so wealth is created and created and created. And it is God that gives the knowledge of the witty inventions that are patented and copyrighted. And so the Founding Fathers back in 1787 provided for that and for the increase of knowledge in the country and throughout the earth. They were men of incredible foresight, and they formulated that, and then, I mean, that's what, Diana, that's why. Now this is true even today, as our world, as our country seems to be crumbling around us, but even today, the inventors Hall of Fame worldwide. Again, I'm using a percentage, and it's huge. It is over 90% of the inventors in the world's Inventors Hall of Fame either were Americans or they produced their work in America so that they would be protected with patents, and so they could produce and profit from them and create wealth and so forth. And so, you know, it was just the Industrial Revolution. Well, I tell you what, it took off by leaps and bounds after the War of 1812, when we went to war with England again, and we were cut off. Our trade was cut off. You know, part of that war was fought for the freedom of the seas so that we could trade, have world trading partners, you know, and that trade was cut off. Well, that, you know, they say necessity is the mother of invention. Well, we had to produce our own goods when our trade was limited, restricted, and sometimes just cut off from the world. We had to begin producing everything we needed, and so we did. And so, you know, we developed into, from that point on, we developed into this incredible manufacturing country.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I'm just really thinking, Lord, we're reinventing the wheel, and we already have the basis. And when I think about, you know, how you told us about Alexis de Tocqueville, Ms. Barbara, that was around the 1800s that he talked about America being the most literate nation in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the people could read, and it's, this is what we're missing, and, you know, it just strikes me as sad. You know, I've seen the postings on Facebook, and they really look down upon Christianity, and they do not realize, if, you know, if anything, they really don't realize how, I don't want to say the word stupid, but, you know, by their fruits you shall know them, and you know the fruits of the founders. There is nothing like it. There is nothing like it. And for people to look down at the good book that they used, you know, it's like, how do you expect to be the best you can be when you're looking down on the key? So that's one of the things, and I think David Barton did a beautiful job, and we knew that, Ms. Barbara, and that's why we wanted him to come, because there's, you know, in order to fix America's problem, you've got to know where you came from, and he did that beautifully. And then also, I'm going to go ahead and add this. We added it with a sprinkling of others like Joan Landis and Troy Towns, Miss Stephanie Bell, Betty Peters, and Emmett McGordy. And so it was like really all of them together painted a complete David Barton, remind us of where we have steered away from, what was best and good for America, and produced the best of, you know, educated individuals that really revolutionized America and the world, and how we could go back to that. That is still there. But also, I think about Joan Landis, you know, and her telling us that, you know, all this emphasis of modern-day America, that we have got to test these children all the time as if we can't leave them alone to grow. Well, we really can't, because we're not showing them the right way to grow, to be educated. They're more or less being indoctrinated, and that's what all the testing is for. But she, you know, she really had a good case for tests doesn't really matter. And, you know, she talked about the PISA and how that was developed in the 60s, and, you know, right when we had the most, a lot of patents and all that. And she asked the question, how many years do you think we topped out on that PISA test, you know, in those times when we were developing a lot of these patents? And the answer was zero. So she says, you know, they call that something about criterion validity, but that is not a good test. Now, all this stuff that we're doing, this manufactured crisis of we've got to test the children, that is really, I hate to call it, but it's hogwash, Ms. Barbara. It's a fabricated, hogwashed, filled with money. It's kind of like it's fake. You know, it's not real gold. There's really nothing golden that we're going to find out from all these testings. If anything, it's hurting the children.
Oh, yeah.
But then here we
yeah.
come with Emmett McGordy.
Well, okay, before
go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Emmett,
go ahead.
In talking about all the testing and how detrimental it is to education, it really is. It is detrimental. It is harmful. and it is stressful for children. I think about the contrast of the Common Core testing, which is constant. If you're not testing, you're pretesting. If you're not pretesting, you're pretesting for the pretest, and so forth. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. And it's just plain wrong. And contrast that with homeschoolers and the joy of learning that they experience and that their parents experience in teaching them. There's just a real joy of learning, which is quite different from cramming facts, cramming, and oh my goodness, oh, you didn't dot that I. Oh, you didn't cross that T. Oh, you know, cramming and testing. It's just it's very harmful to do that to children.
Oh yes, Ms. Barbara. And you know, I love the fact that she got to talk to on the radio shows. And I remember getting some of the, you know, hearing and listening, and there was one mother that just really broke your heart, you know, because one of the things that she was saying is, you know, even children can't speak anymore during lunch, you know. It's like, you know, the teacher would report that your child is not really doing anything. It's not like her child hit anybody, but she's getting reports of the child is speaking too much, talking too much. And it's like times have changed, but then...
How about this one, Diana? True story. I know where it happened, and I know to whom it happened. And how about this? He looked up. Yes, he looked up. And for that, he was given the demerit. It didn't happen just once, but another day, he looked up. True story.
Ms. Barbara, and how damaging are those things? You add them up. Crush that child's spirit day to day when he knows he didn't do anything worthy of that.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
They're crushing.
Right.
And, Ms. Barbara, I've heard that, you know, nowadays, when the children does something, the teacher do not have time, right? Because their mind is so tuned in to studying and getting these kids prepared for the testing, right? That when problem in class,
goal set before them,
have
to meet this
when
goal.
There's something. Well, and if there's a problem in the class, they no longer even find out who did what because they are told they don't have time. It's not fair to the other students, so they send that student to the principal who defies them and pretty much makes them own up to things that they haven't done. You know, too much of that is happening. And, Ms. Barbara, you know, it's like it's all these stressors, and Joan really warned us about that. They're on a dangerous path. She says one out of five students already have a diagnosable, you know, mental health disorder. She says, then you compound that with, you know, another 20% that before the age 18 gets, you know, unfortunately sexually abused, you know, some kind of abuse. And so you add that percentage, that mix with the other, you're going to have a portion of that classroom who really should not be placed under more stress.
Right.
There's a
great deal of stress. That's right. Now,
and
Joan,
I asked the governor, Ms. Barbara. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to ask the governor of each state, how can you be willing to throw that percentage of children under the bus? And the legislator, too, you know, we've been told we got to vote, you know, and affect our state board. Yeah, we are going to do that. But these legislators that cannot think for themselves, Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, well, after you tell us, remind the legislators of their part.
Well, my goodness, you know, the Alabama Constitution is very clear for our the duties of our legislature, that branch of government, that first branch of government. And it says in the Alabama Constitution that we the people authorize our legislature to establish education and to maintain education. That is their duty, their task to do that. Now, we do have elected state board members, and they have their part to kind of supervise over what's happening. But it's the legislature, according to the Alabama Constitution, that determines the maintenance of education and so forth. In addition to that, you know, when we talk about Common Core education, we know that it's being dictated to the states. We do know that it was not a state initiative. They are not state standards. Alabama's state standards, they are not, they were not written by Alabamians for Alabama children. They are the same college and career readiness standards, Common Core standards, whatever you call them, it's the same thing. They're copyrighted and by, the trade organizations, they're copyrighted, they're the same, and so it's being brought into the state. It's not directed by the state or developed from the state. Well, Article 4, Section 73 of the Alabama Constitution says that no appropriations, no money shall be given to any educational institution that is not under the absolute control of the state. Well, we all know that Common Core education is not under the absolute control of the state. It's under the absolute control of the United States Department of Education in Washington, D.C. So, you know,
Ms. Barbara, I think
it.
We need
they
to put that in the newspaper. I think we need to put that in the newspaper for all to see the truth. And how they are, you know, these legislators are relinquishing their rights. And how dare they do that at the price of these children? It is abuse. This is an abuse to the children. A certain percentage of them is going to be abused further. The sooner we get rid of it, better, because as Joan Landis reminds us there, you know, and has told us over and over again, these children can have effects like post-traumatic stress, you know. But anyway, but Ms. Barbara, there's so many parts of this conference, and I know I've been gone off on that, but go ahead and say some more. I think we were.
Well, there's so much. There's so much. But before we leave Joan Landis, what a fabulous lady she is, and what a privilege it was to have her in the state of Alabama. And she was in our capital city, Montgomery, and she did address the state school board. She also was on several radio shows there in our state's capital, and just did a super job. She was so well-spoken, so articulate, and such an effective communicator. And, what a privilege it was to have her here, Diana.
Oh, it was. It was again, a godsend. She was a godsend, and everybody that was on there was a godsend. And I think about, Betty Peters and Stephanie Bell, you know, and I think, you know, there was somebody that said that they did not think there was a solution offered. But as you were saying, Ms. Barbara, about the states, I know that every state basically has the same kind of, I would think, something like what we said in Alabama's Constitution. I would think every state has something similar. And I think it needs to be put out there. We need to, you know, put it in the newspapers and let people remind their legislator of what their duty is, because they're sure enough failing in many, many states. Most of the states, they're failing. So we need to remind them, I'm guessing, and that might be one thing we can do, Ms. Barber.
Well, you know, maybe we do need to remind them of the brick wall that they are hitting up against. The legislators that try to run away from their duty, their responsibility under the Alabama Constitution, those that try to run away from it are, you know, it's a brick wall they're hitting. It's not going to move. They're going to be the ones hurt by it because the Constitution is not changing. It's there. And it says what it says, and it means what it says. So, you know, our legislators need to man up. Come on, man up. And do their duty.
Well, I think, Ms. Barber, you know, I'm seeing posturings everywhere, you know, but I think the more we know about it, the more we know that really the business has their hand on this. And, you know, Bill Gates' money is definitely on this. So, but I think my bottom line is, you know, when more parents find out, it's going to be dangerous for the legislator to keep their job because a parent will not let their child be abused. And I remember seeing a New York teacher saying that, you know, we don't abuse our children. And I think, you know, they're going to see that everywhere, teachers saying that, parents saying that. And I think there is going to be a time of reckoning, a day of reckoning. And I'm believing there might be a house cleaning coming up, you know, that, because I think we will try our very best to reason with them kindly. But I think there will come a point, well, you know, the priority is the child. It will not be the legislators.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will not be the priority. So I would hope that they will change their ways because, you know, we all want better. We want it better. We're not here to destroy anybody. But at the same time, we do not want our children destroyed. That cannot happen. And they should not have any part in it. And it's so sad, Ms. Barber, because I'm hearing. You know, I'm hearing some of them make all sorts of excuses, and I'm guessing they're not hearing how pitiful they are, because the facts are out. It's not like they can just convince, you know, us. I mean, the whole nation is finding out, right, Ms. Barber? I mean, you cannot keep this a secret. Moms and dads are seeing their child at home. That's really the biggest testimony of how this Common Core is so bad. They've got it in front of their eyes in that child.
That's right. That's right. And they are, the parents are seeing that if they don't do something for their children, if they don't stop Common Core and do this for their children, it won't get done. So parents are beginning to call and write their legislators saying, do your duty, bear your responsibility, you've got to stop it. You've got to repeal Common Core. You've got to defund Common Core. Don't give them one more dollar. Take away the dollars from this system that is hurting our children, our grandchildren, and the future of our country. It's got to be done. And parents are seeing that, and they're realizing that they do have the power to act, to take action, and to make a difference for their children. You know, we don't, I suppose we do have a choice, but not really. I mean, how could we face ourselves if in this critical hour we do nothing and allow our children to be destroyed? Because that's what's happening. They will be destroyed under this, and our country will be destroyed as well.
It's heartbreaking, but I, you know, we do have good news. We thank God for the crowd that was there. The seating capacity of Calvary was 1,100, and you know, according to our dear Pastor John, he believes over 1,000 were there. And we, you know, you said that yourself. You know, it was pretty full, pretty packed. So we were grateful. So that is good news because parents really want to find out, and they came in droves.
But and so now, you know, we've got so many more people aware, and they're going to have their own circle of influence. So we're believing that's going to make a huge impact. But also, I don't know if you've seen the postings about New York Teachers Union pulls its support from Common Core. So if you're a teacher and you're talking amongst yourselves and you're saying, oh, how rigorous, how wonderful this is, there's going to be a time when you're going to realize that, you know, there's an awful lot of teachers that know this is really not good. And I think what's happening, Ms. Barbara, is there's paid cheerleaders in the education system.
Yeah, there are.
Let's face it, that's what's happening. You're hearing lots of good things about it. I mean, Bill Gates himself is propping it up. But other teachers are getting paid more than the regular teachers to prop it up and really, I hate to say it, Ms. Barbara, but to brainwash. And so each one's got to do their own homework.
Yes, yes, they do. You know, we all have a part to play. And this is the hour. This is the day. And this is the task before us. And you know, teachers don't need to just listen to what they're told by those in authority over them. They need to do their own homework. You know, they require their students to do homework. Well, it's time that teachers did their own homework. And when they do, they will find out that not only is this Common Core, this college and career readiness, so-called readiness stuff, not only is it harming the children, but it is not good for teachers either in so many different ways, and not just that their salaries will be tied to their evaluations, to the testing. Not just that, not just that Bill Gates wants cameras placed in every classroom to evaluate every teacher according to his standards. Not just that. The very lifeblood of teachers and the joy of teaching is being sucked out of them with this system. The very reason that they went into teaching, because they were called by God to do this, to share of themselves with children and to lead them in the right way and that's being taken away from them in this pursuit of these standards, whatever, curriculum. The teachers are hurt in many, many different ways as well. There's been a barrier that's been placed between the teachers and the students and their relationship. There's not time for that relationship to be nurtured. And you and I both know, Diana, that there are many teachers that love children, that want to be with children and see their little eyes light up when they learn something that's valuable to them and the pleasures of that teacher-student relationship and that mentoring and that nurturing that's supposed to go on, and there's no time for it. Come on, that's harmful to teachers too. They're givers, and they're not being allowed to give of themselves what God has placed within them.
Exactly, Ms. Barbara, and I think that's what was so awesome for David Barton to come, because he of all, just like you, Ms. Barbara, knows the field of education. He was a former teacher, but God gave him the wisdom to see what really makes teaching work. And he's been trying to wake us up, hasn't he, Ms. Barbara? That's really, he's a teacher, and he's learned very well. and he's wanting us to reclaim our heritage, put us back on the right path. And isn't it amazing, Miss Barbara, that God brought him up because he knew Common Core was coming. It needed a teacher like a David Barton to really put it all together. I mean, he really gave us the problem, and he gave us the solution. And, Miss Barbara, it's just like, you know, in Ecclesiastes, as King Solomon said, right? There's nothing new under the sun. And, you know, what is it that he says about wisdom? You know, and, you know, it really boils down to God. I mean, we keep searching, we study, and it's almost like we're studying a myth. If God is not in our midst, I think we study a myth. And the same thing with learning. It's really, you know, and we hear a lot of these great supposedly intellectuals, you know, and highly respected individuals. But, you know, bottom line is what good is all that knowledge if at the very, very, you know, least you don't even know the Lord, because there is an eternity that truly matters. So,
well, you know,
wow, the beginning was in the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, and
ahead,
the Bible says that knowledge of the holy, is understanding. There are those who have worldly knowledge, but do not have spiritual eyes to see and to see the holy and to have understanding. So that's very important to remember, that there is a worldly knowledge, but it's not an understanding. People who do not know the Lord do not have an understanding that's necessary, you know, for wisdom. So it's you said it. I mean, it's with God. It's with God. And apart from him, there is nothing that is valuable or good, truly. So, well, Diana, we're at the close of the show, and I surely would love for you to close us out with prayer. And do you want to share anything about what's coming up this week before you pray?
Well, okay, yeah, Ms. Barbara, tomorrow is with our friend Donald Simmons, author of the series The Unborn, and he's going to talk about, you know, the abortion issue. And for those that have not heard Don's testimony before, it moves me to tears, Ms. Barbara, every time I hear it. And, you know, March of Life and all this, you know, that's just in our minds. You know, we really need to be, you know, keeping up the fight to protect the unborn, and as we protect, you know, other children. My goodness, Miss Barbara, you know, we need so much help from God. You know, I've heard people talk about the Grammy Awards and how, you know, it's just really, this is the state that we're in. And it's so sad, Miss Barbara, because these people that don't realize, it's like, you know, I understand why Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They really don't know what they're doing. They really don't know that they're digging their way to hell, so to speak, you know. It might seem joyful for a season, but, wow, there's eternity coming up. And it might come up sooner than later with what we're all, you know, hearing in Israel and surrounding Israel. So with that in mind, I'm just so grateful, Ms. Barbara, for that event. How good a God, Ms. Barbara. And this is why, folks, if you would like for David Barton to come, hey, start the process. He is so worth it, because, Ms. Barbara, I really feel like it has ratcheted up the knowledge about Common Core in our state of Alabama.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get it in every state.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and we'll thank God together and lift these things up to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. What an awesome God you are. You are the God of, Lord, the George Washingtons, the Benjamin Franklin. What a reminder for us who live in this nation, Lord, that you heard their prayers. And, Lord, we are the beneficiary. And, Lord, for us who have children and grandchildren, Lord, we want them to experience freedom. We want them to experience the greatness that is in America that made her people, Lord, give out of her goodness to so many other nations. Lord, it was not out of selfishness, but it was an act of gratefulness for an amazing God had put us together on this land to live, Lord, with such wonderful freedom, the land of opportunity. But, Lord, shackles has been placed upon us, and more shackles are being placed upon our young ones. And, Lord, we ask that you help us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to David Barton and all those who came to our conference had done, Lord, in opening the eyes of many more, Lord. We just pray that many more people will hear of the wisdom that comes from the mouths of these, such as David Barton, because, Lord, it is not about them. It is about you. It is about this nation's people that they do it. So, Lord, we ask that you just help us that are trying to fight against this darkness called Common Core, that even the teachers, Lord, that are hurting, that you would give them hope, and the teachers, Lord, that are blind to Common Core, that you would help them to have dreams and visions of the truth, Lord, because Heavenly Father, there is going to be an accounting. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would have mercy, that you allow us, Lord, to open more eyes so that they shall see the truth and learn how to defend their precious ones. Lord, we just thank you for all the things that you've done. And we thank you, Lord, that it's not because of us. What was accomplished was because you are a merciful God. And, Lord, we pray that all these governors, these legislators, that, Lord, they would open their eyes and see that you are an amazing God, a loving God, and that, Lord, they will quit reinventing the wheel and learn from the history of your greatness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Diana. And it's just been such a pleasure having this visit with you tonight. And I look forward to the rest of the week as well. And listeners, we just want to thank you for joining us tonight for the radio show and ask that you would share this podcast and the many podcasts available at our website, www.cityonahill.tv. Share them with your family and friends wherever they are so that they, too, can become better informed and more involved, and that we can work together to bring about a better country, a better future for our children. Thank you for joining us tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Ms. Barbara, I'm going to go ahead and mention that we will air, hopefully, the first part of the David Barton Conference on Thursday night. We hope to be able to do that so that listeners can hear and be a part of what we learn. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.